Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Greg Cazera is here. Greg is a great member of our Brain Trust. Now coming up on 3 years, he's been hanging out with us. He's the director of marketing for Shale Crescent USA. He's got decades and decades of experience in the energy world, and he is a regional leader in promoting the energy opportunities in the eastern part of the United States, and he travels the world talking about that. Right, Greg?
Absolutely.
Welcome back.
Hey, Jim, it's always fun to talk to you.
It's good to have you back. So you just got back from a long trip. Tell the audience where you've been.
I've never been to Japan, and we were there 2 weeks ago. Just got back. And phenomenal country. I had no idea, but just a great place. Super people, very helpful, and you know how helpful they are, Jim. We landed. I don't read Japanese. And we took the train in from Tokyo from Narita Airport. That's an hour train ride. We're in Tokyo Station on the fourth basement level, and this place is massive. I mean, any of your listeners have ever been to Penn Station, New York, you can take five of those, and you've got Tokyo Station. 6 million people go through this train station every day, and that's. So we're on the fourth basement level. Everything's in Japanese. I'm thinking, how do we get out of here? How do I even find my hotel? And there was a couple on, there was a lady on the train, and we'd made friends with her, and her husband met her at the station, and I explained my problem. And he said, don't worry, we'll get you out of here. And he said, follow me. And followed him out of the station. He took me to the cab stand, wrote down our hotel name in Japanese, because he said, cab driver doesn't understand English. The guy got us to our hotel, and it was phenomenal. But real, wow. Very helpful.
So what were you doing over there?
They understand. We were talking about energy. They wanted us to come. They invited us there because they knew that the world was changing. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to know what was going on with American energy. And they, you know, if you're in Japan, they know where Hollywood is. They know where New York City is. They know where Texas is. And their assumption is that, you know, we're creating a lot of, we're a world leader in energy now. And they assumed it all came from Texas.
Well, they called it West Texas crude on the
yes,
exchanges.
Exactly.
They don't say
yes.
They don't say West Virginia crude or
right.
South Carolina crude. They say West Texas crude.
Exactly. So it's understandable. And when I said, we've got over 50 people, this room is packed with leaders from their Japanese Petrochemical Association. And as soon as I said that, you know, between 2010 and 2007, the Northeast, the Shale Crescent, the Ohio, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, is producing 33% of the United States' natural gas.
Wow.
Just 3% 7 years ago. That's a major thing. And then when it's almost like in unison, everybody picks up their pen and they're starting to write. And then they really went crazy when I said, and this region of the country is now producing more natural gas than Texas.
And see, they're a great prospect for LNG, right? Liquid natural gas.
They are, because that I found out that country runs on natural gas.
Yeah, and to liquefy it and to concentrate to bring it in, then that way, I mean, that's their fuel of the future. That's their carbon fuel of the future, isn't it?
Oh, it really is. And if you can imagine, I mean, you know, you and I have both heard the keep it in the ground, anti-frack, anti-fossil fuel crowd. And I'm sitting there. I came back from there. I'm convinced today, Jim, that is a totally immoral position to take. Because can you imagine 35 million people in the Tokyo metropolitan area? All you can see is buildings. You're not going to keep 35 million people in lights and heat with wind and solar. And it's not going to happen.
Well, Japan can't do that. Japan's not going to be able to pull that off. They can't. I mean, as concentrated as they are, on as you say, on an island nation, they can't. It's not physically, the laws of physics are against that.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And they're shutting their nuclear electricity. They've shut down a lot of nuclear plants.
Yeah.
And that's only about 25% of their electricity. The rest is coming from natural gas, coal, and
well, especially a fault line they're sitting on. It's probably not smart to try to build nuclear more over there. We've already seen what happens when Japan messes around with nuclear, right? I mean, they're on a fault line.
Well, and what I was told is that 25% is going to go down.
I wouldn't be surprised. Not unlike what happened here in the United States 40 years ago. So what else did you learn? In the next segment, I'm going to get you to tell us about manufacturing, but what would be leading up to them them sending manufacturing over here?
Well, see, they understand that they're in a bad spot because they have to take in, whether it's coming from us or OPEC, natural gas. And that natural gas runs their industry over there. Well, once they got to pay for that natural gas, it's a lot more expensive over there than it is here because you got to liquefy it and ship it.
Right.
Well, then what happens when they get done? They've got some domestic market, but they got to ship it back to the world. A lot of it comes back here to us. Well, then you got to ship it back across the pond.
So why not build your products overseas where the energy is and just bring the profits back?
That's exactly what they're thinking, Jim. You are spot on.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense because, you know, this is so many manufacturers have figured out there's not a better way to make a refrigerator. They can't make a refrigerator cheaper or more efficiently than they're doing it now. And so when they keep trying to cut costs, they keep coming back to the shipping, to the freight, right? So that makes them say, okay, we don't need to work on building our refrigerators cheaper. We need to build our refrigerators closer to where they're going to be used.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell. And they grasped that.
And America's been doing that for a long time now.
How do you get here? Yes. And with what's happened, it used to be, you go back 20, 30 years ago, labor was a big cost.
Mm-hmm.
And it still factors in there, but the big thing anymore is energy. Because everything, like you said, everything it's hard to build it cheaper because it's already automated.
Well, see, Japan has another issue. As we talked about off the break, off the air a minute ago, they've got a demographic issue. They don't have enough young people to staff the plants that they're going to need to build to keep their country as wealthy as it is.
That's an issue. That is an issue.
This manufacturing more of their stuff in America is driven at least partially by their demographic makeup over there, by the age waves this wage wave that's going on over there. Hold on to that thought. I need your website quickly, Greg.
Okay.
Your website quickly. We'll get it after the break. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm right back with Greg Cazera. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.